Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the happy hour, the Thursday edition. And there's my little buddy Dominic wearing his Milwaukee 414 hat, broadcasting from an undisclosed location in the big city. We got Fancy Brian in the Shaw. We got Evan here in the world headquarters, Madison, Wisconsin. And of course, we've got all of you listening on the radio, on the stream worldwide. Thank you for doing so. It's going to be a good hour, I hope.
Keep your fingers crossed, Crudy.
Well, Dom, I was just telling the audience, you know, Bill from Oconomowoc, a friend, he calls us sometimes. He said, well, Crudy, you're so full of integrity and diplomacy. And I said, well, I'll give you the former, but not the latter. You know what I'm saying? I often lack in diplomacy. Bluntness more my skill set.
Well, you know, but there's a wide range of diplomacy.
Well, I appreciate the kind words from Bill, but I do try to make integrity, you know, telling the truth a virtue. I'm not going to say I'm, you know, George Washington. I don't think I'd tell the old man if I chopped down the cherry tree. You know, I've lied about a few things in my life. I feel quite confident, mostly to law enforcement. But anyways, I got to ask you, and then we'll move on because there's many political topics and perhaps some fine people to talk to on the phones.
Yes.
844-967-2789. But I'm casting a little shade at the Democratic governor, Tony Evers, of the state of Wisconsin, because his new campaign ad says, oh, I get along swell with the Republicans. I'm such a bipartisan guy. And I'm thinking, no, you're not. You never were. And why would you be? They're extremists. They're obstructionists. They hamstrung you with the lame duck. They've done nothing but screw you and the taxpayers and the people of Wisconsin. Why would you want to claim to be friends with those people? So what's your thought? Maybe I'm being a little too diplomatic on this point.
You know, I haven't seen the ad that you're referring to. So I would
highly
just
produced.
Say this.
Slick. It's
well probably
done.
Took some time. And you know, obviously over the last couple of weeks, we've seen how extreme the Republicans really, really, really are. And
I think that's what Joe Biden
was,
called him yesterday. Extreme.
Well, that's my point exactly. And again, if you look at, you know, the timeline of when this highly produced and very expensive ad campaign of Governor Evers started, perhaps he should have pulled that one, put it on the shelf, and started over after President Joe Biden went off on the MAGAs, man.
Sure,
and I think Biden, you know, if we talk about messaging a lot, we talk about, you know, people being on the same page and how do we overcome. I think Biden did a great job. And how many times did the president say MAGA in a derisive way? Because describing the extreme attitude and behaviors of the MAGAs, and here in Wisconsin, I mean, we're right there, man. I mean, the cyber ninjas, they're done. We're still using taxpayer funds to go after, to supply what? Bad information just to keep this ruse alive with our taxpayer dollars? This is not a Republican party in which I would want to be putting ads up saying I'm doing business with these guys and therefore I'm a bipartisan. I don't think you're going to get certainly any Republicans, Tony, and I highly doubt any independents. So I'm not clear. Again, I haven't seen it, but based on what you're telling me, I would not go down that road. In fact, I would embrace what the president has shown us, has led on, is showing how terrible these MAGAs really are and hammering the point.
Here's what Evers specifically is quoted by Patrick Marley. I don't mean to misconstrue. Folks, there's too much division in politics today. That's why I'm focused on bringing people together to get the results that matters. He also claimed he worked with Republicans and Democrats to pass middle-class income tax relief. And when he says he worked with Republicans, he must be alluding to the fact that he signed two Republican budgets. But that's in direct contrast to everything that's played out publicly. Even the recall.
Before he's even gotten into office.
They lame-ducked his ass, right?
Come on, man.
And instead of coming out swinging, instead of saying, you know, folks, you know, I'd love to bring this state together. I'd love to share your sense of unity. We're all Wisconsinites. I mean, it's a great, wonderful notion. I'd love to go back to Mayberry days, but we can't do that. Donald Trump's the president of the United States.
Come on, man. Mayberry, believe it to Beaver, that was all fiction, folks. We never were there. And so why now?
Well, before Scott Walker, we were certainly in a position in the state of Wisconsin where it didn't matter so much if we elected, you know, a D or an R. You know, we elected them and then we expected them to go to work for all the people of the state of Wisconsin. And Scott Walker wrecked that for us. Scott Walker was the one that really revolutionized the politics of division, of personal division, of making you resent, at least here in the state of Wisconsin, hadn't been done so well since Joseph McCarthy, right?
But here's what I'm saying, though. So it's been done. This is you're contradicting your own statement. Joseph McCarthy. What else do you need to say, man? I mean, that's the history of Wisconsin. We refer to that terrible time and that senator in derisive terms. This is more of the same, and they're getting more ballsy because of Alito right now. You hear everything they want to do. Oh, maybe we should, you know, roll back same-sex marriage. And in Georgia Abbott, maybe we should overturn 1982 public education, right? Ben Shapiro overturned gay marriage. Louisiana state Republicans right now, today, have a bill to what? Make abortion a homicidal act. That's where they're
passed
at.
Out of committee 7-2 to the Republican-controlled House. Sure. Sure. No. And that's my point as well, buddy. Is why would you ever claim that you're doing a kumbaya with these people? Well, you know, we work together. Why would you tell the people that? How do you then turn around and pivot and contrast yourself with that very extreme party?
I mean, they were freaking extreme before
Joe Biden mentioned it yesterday and before Tony's team made the ad.
There's probably some polling that says people want, you know, citizens to be united and yada, yada, yada. And ultimately, I'm down with that. But here's the deal.
So you lied for polling sake?
With terrorists. I won't negotiate with terrorists, man. If you're going to hold a pregnant woman hostage, I have a problem negotiating with you, right? If you think abortion is homicide, I have a problem negotiating with you. If you think that gay marriage should be outlawed, that sodomy laws should be put back in place, or anti-sodomy laws should be put back in place, I have a problem with you. I cannot deal with you on tax issues if you think that certain members of this citizenry are less than others.
Okay, would you lead your reelective campaign?
Hell no.
With a lie because the polling said, but people want kumbaya. No, right? I think we share that opinion.
I would not. But you
Tony
know,
Evers
I wasn't
just,
elected governor, so he's Tony, got different pressures and different information, perhaps, and definitely
different polling.
A different style. He's got a different style, and he's doing whatever he thinks is right for him to, you know, win an election. Oh, okay. I mean, I got that. But no, absolutely not. The way Robin Voss and Gableman, this entire joke of the GOP in Wisconsin. Every single one of the GOP Republicans running for governor, all down with making Roe v. Wade illegal, all down with making abortions illegal. They are down with that. And you're going to say what? Oh, they're fine people and we can negotiate on them. No, you can't. No, you can't. I mean, you're going to negotiate with murderers? You're going to negotiate with terrorists?
Well, see, they would turn that language against you in regards to abortion. They would say abortion takes away a beating heart. Abortion
is
murder.
You could say that, but that's not the case. So
but what? That is a moral argument
that is made. This is a party that ransacked the Capitol and wrote crap on the
wall.
Well,
that's a better answer, fellas. That's what I'm trying to get you to.
This is the fringe party. There are no moderates. There are no moderate GOPers. They're all bat guano crazy. And I'm not going to sit and try to, you know, reach out to my fellow Republicans. If you think that if my daughter, God forbid, gets pregnant, that the state should force her to have a birth. You want to have a government for these small government Republicans. You want to have a government that would force a child to bring another child, a baby, full term, forced government birthing. And then you're going to tell me at the same time that, you know, the government's too big and out of control. I mean, the hypocrisy is just boundless. So there's no negotiating with them. We just got to beat them and walk around them.
Well, me and Paul Waldman hit the panic button way back in hour one on the Roe v. Wade what they could portend for Republican policy going forward, and all the things you enumerated, all those things, great examples. And one last thought, and then I swear to God, I'm done talking about Tony Evers maybe forever. Don't lie. Don't lie for political expediency. You know, because your opponents in this election, my biggest criticism of Tony Evers' opponents in this election is they're all advocating for the big lie, right? The really big lie. Donald Trump, it was rigged against him. Let's turn back the Electoral College. Or if nothing else, let's empower a Republican. Let's call her Governor Clayfish. Let's give her the power to steal the next election. A little, you know, foreshadowing of what's to come.
Come on, they were
if that big lie is being told by his opponents, you know what? Don't start with the little freaking lie, man. It just bugs the you-know-what out of me that he can't just come out and say, I signed a Republican budget, I gave you a tax cut, but I don't like those bastards. They're extreme.
And here is why. They're extreme. They were involved in this insurrection. They put forth fraudulent electors in order to do so. There was communication with the White House, and I haven't seen the reporting on it yet. Hopefully we'll get somewhere somehow. But this idea in Wisconsin didn't come out of the blue. It's the same damn paperwork from many other states. This is a conspiracy, and the Republicans, the GOP in the state of Wisconsin, the leadership, all the way down to Ram Jam, they were in on it. This is not a party that you should be singing kumbaya with. This is a party you should reject. You should highlight the asinine antics and anti-democratic, violent rhetoric that they continue to push upon this state.
All right. That was the attitude I was looking for out of you, Salvia. Come
yeah,
back.
Baby.
Your strongly held opinions are next. 844-967-2789.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
Ooh, you're my best friend.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Before we get to the phones, Crudy, I want to read a piece to our fair audience. Found this on the Jezebel.com, and it lit my ass up last night, and I want to share it with you. So maybe you can, you know, put some of this anger into context for you. This piece written by Laura Bassett, I think I posted it up on our Facebook page, The Devil's Advocates Radio. Go there often if you want to see what the hell is going on in this world. Here is what Laura writes. In case you needed any further proof that the modern anti-abortion movement is an outgrowth of many centuries of virulent misogyny and violence against women, Justice Samuel Alito's leaked opinion draft striking down Roe v. Wade relies heavily, I tell you, on a 17th century English jurist who had two women executed for witchcraft, wrote in defense of marital rape, and believed capital punishment should extend to kids as young as 14. Two treatises by Sir Matthew Hale, Alito wrote in his...
Well, in this guy's defense, people didn't live as long back then.
I think that's actually not necessarily the case. If you looked at the average, a lot of people died in birth or in the very early years, but once if they got over the hump, they had a pretty long life. But
I mean, 14's a pretty good spell, yeah. Right?
The two treatises by Sir Matthew Hale, Alito wrote in his argument to end legal abortion across America, described abortion of a quick child who died in the womb as a great crime and a great misprision. C. M. Hale, pleas of the crown. That's the quote from the piece. Now, the author goes on. How interesting that Alito would cite pleas of the crown. That's the text published in 1736. 1736, 60 years after Hale's death, that defended and laid the foundation for the marital rape exemption across the world. Let's go straight to the text. Quote, "For the husband cannot be guilty of a rape committed by himself upon his lawful wife, for by their mutual matrimonial consent and contract, the wife hath given up herself in this kind unto her husband, which she cannot retract," Hale wrote. The author goes on, allowing marital rape sounds pretty antiquated, but it was actually legal in many U.S. states up through the 1990s and continues to be allowed or at least treated quite differently under the law in some states than non-spousal rape. Thanks, Mr. Hale. Also, among Hale's greatest hits, sentencing two women to death for witchcraft at a time when the, quote, more enlightened people of the 17th century had already begun to doubt the existence of witchcraft, an opinion the Salem, Massachusetts judges relied on in their notoriously deadly witch trials. According to the Boston Globe, 25 people were killed during those trials. All 19 who were executed through a hanging died at Proctor's Ledge. Five others died in jail, and one was crushed to death. It's quite fitting that Alito would cite this guy's opinion on abortion in deciding to revoke the right from the American people nearly a half a century after Roe legalized the health procedure in 1973. The reason Roe was needed in the first place is that American women were dying from unsafe, so-called back alley abortions. As many have pointed out, the movement to ban abortion is not and has never been about protecting fetuses. It started as a way to galvanize conservative voters in support of racial segregation, to motivate misogynistic people who really only care about punishing women to also turn on in support of the entire right-wing agenda. And so here we are, the author concludes, in the year 2022, about a month or so from the Supreme Court striking down the basic human right of half the American population, based in part on an opinion of some guy in the 1600s who wanted men to be able to rape their wives. Never mind that a strong majority of the country wants Roe to stay intact and has absolutely no say in the matter. Perfect democracy, no notes. Jezebel.com, Laura Bassett.
Devil's Advocate.
That's where we're at.
Phone number. 844-967-2789. Joe from River West. Welcome, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey.
Good.
I want to revisit the discussion about Evers.
Sure.
And, I think the idea is that, you know, he's putting something out there that may allow him, and you had an earlier caller, Joe.
Yeah, Joe from Madison.
I hear
Very smart lady.
Joe from Madison.
All people named Joe are really smart, I hear.
Well, thank you for that. But, you know, we'll see how this goes. And if you feel that way after we get done talking, you know, all the better.
We'll be the judge of that, Joe. Go ahead.
Right. So anyway, the point I wanted to bring up is that, you know, Joe said, you know, perhaps Tony's doing this to bring this radical Republican Party or wing of the party into the fold. You're not going to bring radicals into a fold, right? But what you could do, what I think Tony is attempting to do, is maybe bring moderate Republicans into the fold that are just tired of the tribal politics, you know? I mean, if you have, like, I'll say this. I'm not a huge
Joe, let me interrupt you. Can you think of one moderate Republican, as you have described, who in the state of Wisconsin, who would fit that bill? Any particular state senator, state legislator, congressperson?
Jerry Petrowski, they got mugs in common.
Hey, I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about voters, man.
Yeah, valid point.
Voters are I'm talking about voters, and these are the people that are going to make or break this at the end of the day. So, I mean, politicians aren't going to vote for Tony Evers for governor. Voters are going to vote for Tony Evers
for
governor.
Joe, I have no doubt that you have a strategic plan there. But that's not exactly what Tony said. Tony said, I've been working with Republicans and Democrats to deliver tax cuts. Factually, that's a different statement. That's saying I've already done something, I've accomplished something. And it's not the tax cuts I take issue with. It's the fact that he claims he worked with Republicans, sir. He did not. There's no evidence other than maybe his shared affection for Mungs with Jerry Petrowski.
Okay, but I he's speaking to a broad populace, right? He's not speaking to the informed people such as you, right? This is an ad that goes out over.
But he doesn't have to lie, Joe.
Broader airways.
He could make a similar but different claim without lying to the broad, reasonable, thoughtful electorate. And I don't mean to cut you short, Joe. We just are up against a hard break. They're uncompromising. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
If the issue were to come before me, if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed and the issue were to come before me, the first question would be the question that we've been discussing, and that's the issue of stare decisis.
I wish you weren't a liar.
WI.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling through the happier Thursday happy hour. And Dom, I got to tell you, man, sometimes even I'm a little stunned by the breaking news we get about the former administration. Found this one at the Raw Story, always a favorite source of mine. And we'll get to your calls. We'll get there, 844-967-2789. If you're in the queue, Mark, probably you're next, you know, but be patient. I'm going to skip the headline because the headline tells too much. And I want to savor this one just a little bit. So I want to share this one in honor of Cinco de Mayo. Do you remember when Donald Trump celebrated Cinco de Mayo by tweeting out a picture of him eating a taco salad? Happy Cinco de Mayo, everyone. You know, he's such a man, I saw a picture of a taco salad.
I'm not clear the man has ever had a salad in his life or knows how to use a fork, but he did send a picture of a taco salad.
Well, and I'm not exactly sure that Cinco de Mayo is actually a big deal in Mexican. More of a big deal at Mexican restaurants in America, especially here in Wisconsin, where you can have a couple cold margaritas. Sort of part of my plans for later, Tom. But in light of the fact that Cinco de Mayo, let me break some new news to you and the audience as well, perhaps. In the forthcoming book by Trump-era Secretary of Defense Mark Esper, there's a stunning revelation, Dom, of attacking Mexico late during the Trump administration. What?
What?
Former President Donald J. Trump asked Mark Esper, his defense secretary, about the possibility of launching missiles into Mexico.
I'm going to bomb the shit out of them.
Yeah, that was at least a consideration. It's being reported by his former defense secretary. Now, what was the intent? Why would he shoot missiles into Mexico's? You know, to probably, if you know Trump, he probably owns stake in avocado futures. And you know, he's trying to drive up the avocado commodity prices. You know, if it takes a few missiles, a couple tomahawks, you know, you do what you got to do to make a few bucks, right? But in this case, Trump's intent was to destroy the drug labs and wipe out the drug cartels, apparently. Now, he realizes they live amongst the people, and some are a little beyond Mexico. Mexico is just sort of a transport corridor from South America, where they actually make most of the cocaine. And the marijuana, and I know Trump would still throw that in with the drugs. Well, the marijuana is not really being made down in Mexico. Maybe meth. There could be some meth labs down there. Bryan Cranston, were they in Mexico? Where were they making the meth in Breaking Bad?
They were in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. My bad. But they occasionally crossed the border and went to Mexico, right?
Can we bomb New Mexico? And while we're at it, let's take out Detroit and New York while we're at it.
Well, wasn't Trump proposing a southern border wall in Colorado once upon a time? Here it is. Again, Trump asked his defense secretary about the possibility of launching missiles into Mexico. Destroy the drug labs and wipe out the cartels, maintaining the United States' involvement in the strike against its southern neighbor could all be kept a secret.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Mr. Esper recounts in his upcoming memoir. Now, Maggie Haberman reported for the New York Times, those remarkable discussions in 2020 are among several moments that Mr. Esper describes in the book a sacred oath as leaving him all but speechless when he served the 45th president. Now, much like John Bolton and all the rest, these people that actually served at the knee of Donald Trump, you know, defense secretary, guys proposing bombing Mexico. Why not Canada while you're at it? For Christ's sake.
No drugs come out of Canada?
What's that?
No drugs ever came out of Canada? Come on, man. BC, bud. I mean, before we got legal here in the United States, and at least several states, certainly not Wisconsin yet, the BC bud was all the rage, man.
Sure.
We can do one-on-one with Mexico, one-on-one with Canada.
You bomb the crap out of them.
But, I mean, it's about as logical, right? He never liked Trudeau much anyways. The book says Trump asked at least twice if the military could shoot missiles into Mexico to destroy the drug labs. You know, that or, you know, nuke a hurricane if necessary, right? And I hear the people on Righty Whitey Talk Radio, they crap on Joe Biden constantly. This guy's, he's losing his mind. He's lost a step. He can't make a logical statement. You know, someone else is governing the country. It's not Joe Biden. Well, contrast that with the last guy, man. If they would have done what this guy said, we'd be at active war with Mexico. Alabama wouldn't exist because of the nuked hurricane. And we'd have about a million COVID deaths. So that.
Oh, wait. Oh, that's right. We still do.
And a wall in Colorado paid for by the newly bombed Mexicans. That's what happens when you don't pay for Trump's wall, right? That's
Mexico,
the real motivation.
Is going to pay for the wall.
Yeah, that's
or
what
I'm gonna missile you.
Mr. Esper, the last Senate-confirmed defense secretary under Mr. Trump, also had concerns about speculation that the president might misuse the military around Election Day, for instance, having soldiers seize ballot boxes. That's strange. It's almost like, you know, he was in on some information that, you know, is starting to come out now. What else do we have here? He warned subordinates to be on alert for unusual calls from the White House in the lead-up to the election, the newspaper reported. Mr. Esper describes an administration completely overtaken by concerns about Mr. Trump's re-election campaign, with every decision tethered to that objective. Yeah, we knew that. He writes that he could have resigned and waited the idea several times, but that he believed the president was surrounded by so many yes men and people whispering dangerous ideas to him that a loyalist would have been put in Mr. Esper's place. Esper says Trump even knew the exact missile he wanted to use, although he listed one from America's missile defense system. And Trump also suggested just brazenly lying about the military strike. A quote, when Mr. Esper raised various objections, Mr. Trump said that we could just shoot some Patriot missiles and take out the labs quietly, adding that no one would know it was us. I mean, how many Patriot missiles are, you know, going to launch from America and land in Mexico and they'd never know where they came from?
Maybe hire outside mercenaries like Eric Prince. You know, Betsy DeVos's brother is quite the merc.
Oh, see, you got some inside. Go render some people. Mr. Trump said he would just say the United States had not conducted the strike. Mr. Esper recounts, writing that he would have thought it was a joke had he not been staring Mr. Trump in the face, the newspaper reported. Mr. Esper writes that he never believed Mr. Trump's conduct rose to the level of needing to invoke the 25th Amendment. He also strains to give Mr. Trump credit where he thinks he deserves it. Nonetheless, Mr. Esper paints a portrait of someone not in control of his emotions or his thought process throughout 2020. The book is scheduled to hit bookstore shelves on Tuesday. You think the J6 going to want to talk to this cat? And everyone now coming out. I mean, it just...
Well, that's the part that's bothersome. It's not courageous now. Now you're just trying to sell books.
Got to make some money, baby. It's America. That's what we're all about. Forget about, you know, the democracy, this constitutional republic in which we live.
Don't they
that
make
provides
an
for you the ability for you to make money, you know, without people randomly, you know, tar and feathering you and murdering you in the streets, you know, law and order types.
But specifically, when these people take a constitutional oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and they bear witness to this sort of random, crazy action, or at least the proposition thereof. Let's bomb Mexico, and we'll just lie about it. No one will know it's us. We'll blame it on the Californians. How much sense it makes.
Well, and I have to throw this out there. The biggest problem that we have with drugs, all drugs, hard drugs, not hard drugs, however we want to classify them, is that they're illegal. I mean, we learned this lesson in Prohibition, right? Well, apparently not. So here we are. We have a huge drug trade. You know why there's a big drug trade? Because there's a big demand for drugs in this country. That's why it's there. It's not like, you know, people are coming in and like pushing this on us. You know, if you want something, you can pretty much get it. That is kind of the beautiful thing about this country. And if you have a problem with it, perhaps, and I know this, it's not like Republicans are enlightened. In fact, they're going backwards. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they want to outlaw alcohol again. Well, this is where they're at. But to have a conversation with Republicans to state that, you know, really the danger is not the drugs themselves. That's a health care problem. The problem with the gangs and with the cartels is that it is illegal.
Well, here's my thought quickly, and then we'll get to the phones. 844-967-2789. A lot of the problem is fentanyl, right? And fentanyl is the modern equivalent of bathtub gin. You know, it's not regulated. In what ended in some small part the prohibition? Well, you know, America could use a stiff drink after the Depression. But it was also the fact that people were dying from the bathtub gin.
Right.
So it's far more likely we're going to see the legalization of opioids in some way, shape, or form in a regulated fashion because, you know, rich Republicans' kids are getting hooked on the opioids. It's not just happening to the other people's. And they're dying because of their exposure to the modern equivalent of the bathtub gin, which is the fentanyl. So, you know, the weed's not killing anybody. That's why it's still illegal. But give these Republicans, when enough of them are affected by the opioid epidemic, and we might actually see progress on hard drugs being legalized. But here in the state of Wisconsin, they'd probably make it a states' rights issue. And of course, Republicans will still be controlling the legislature then, and they'll keep weed illegal forever, and abortion, and a few other things. You know, they're cooking up in the shop
marriage,
right now.
Perhaps interracial marriage, you know. I mean, go down the list of what dystopian... No, almost lost it there, almost, but I didn't. The worst possible future you can imagine, because they don't... If the mythology that they all claim to believe in is what they want for us and for them to force that upon us, there's going to be a great, great problems in this country, even more than we have now.
Dominic, which Republican would you like to smite down with the jawbone of an ass? It's in the Bible. You got to read the Old Testament.
Yeah, I mean, really, at this time, I think who exemplifies the worst of Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin is Gableman. I mean, he is exactly what the problem is.
But Gableman only lives as the Frankenstein special prosecutor because Voss allows him to live. And Voss is effectively a big lie atheist. Back to the biblical reference. Let's try to get to a few phone calls. 844-967-2789, at least an agnostic. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
Hey guys, where to begin? You said at the knees of Donald Trump. I'd say on their knees before Donald Trump is where I'd put most of them. And for Esper, I mean, coward. These people that are coming down, no, coward. You should have spoken up before. I mean, Donald Trump's ass should have been out of the White House because he was pulling this stuff. I mean, and Sam Alito, I could take that guy on a debate and destroy the man because he obviously does not understand the Constitution. One iota, referring back to the king.
The difference between you and Alito, Mark, Alito's got the votes.
Yeah, well, Alito is, you know, that it is just disgusting that the man can spout this stuff, and people are too ignorant to understand that. Turn ourselves over to the king's magistrates. That's what we had a revolution for. They're protesting against judges like, you know, Alito is referencing now. These weren't defenders of the common law that we base some of our stuff on. He's defending witch, you know, executing witches, and for these crackers that say, oh, the, you know, Christians are being persecuted. The worst persecution of Christians on this continent were by fellow Christians who were whipping you know, people that didn't adhere to their particular beliefs, like the Quakers in New England. Some were flogged and then hung because the hanging wasn't punishment enough. I mean, it is just, you know, the people need to wake up and smell the coffee, because these guys are dangerous, and you know that there's hopefully there's some moderate Republican voters out there, but none of the elected ones have the guts enough to stand up to Donald Trump or the MAGAs.
Gotta put you off there, Mark. I'm sure you'll join us again tomorrow. I hope you're listening. 844-967-2789. Going to break, coming back, perhaps a few more of your phone calls. We'll try to get there next. Devil's Advocates. I try to never lie to the audience. Just my kids when necessary. Dad's out of gas. I can't take you.
Mexico is going to pay for the war. I'm going to bomb the shit out of them. We can do one-on-one with Mexico, one-on-one with Canada. I'm going to bomb the shit out of them.
We're building a wall in Colorado.
I'm going to bomb the shit out of them.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of this happy hour. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, toll free, talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dominic, technically we are doing the Cinco de Mayo edition. Real quick, I know it's not important to anyone except for me. But what's your favorite tequila, man? I know you've tried them all.
My regular is Casamigos. That's what I, you can find it pretty much in any bar. But, I'll drink all of it.
I used to, and I don't know, I probably gave you a gift, in the 30-ish years we've known each other. I used to get the gift when I was younger and single and had more money, a Portofino. Have you ever seen the Portofino bottle? It's got the blown glass cactus in the bottle.
Oh, on the bottom. Yeah. That's a good
Did
one.
Did I give
like
you
that.
A bottle of that once?
You may have. Yeah.
If you had a bottle with a cactus in it, blown glass, that was a Crudy special, man.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good stuff. I haven't got one in a while.
Well, I haven't had money in a while. Now, mostly attributable to our career choice of radio. But the willingness to drink expensive booze, it hasn't really gone away. So, I was just checking because might have to drink a couple of margaritas tonight.
You don't want to use, I guess that's my thing. You don't want to use like really good tequila in margaritas.
Why not?
Because the fruit and the syrup and all the stuff in it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's like
there,
really
you
good...
can taste. Man, I can smell Cuervo when they uncork the bottle at the bar. If it's Cuervo, I ain't drinking it.
Cuervo has a couple. They have some decent. Añejo or the Blanco is actually not terrible. I've had it, but again, you're not going to put a $100 bottle of tequila, take shots of that, and stick it in a margarita in a blender. That's pointless. I mean, that kind of booze you sip straight. You don't mix it. Well, I know it's hard for you, Mr. Captain of Diet Coke.
Well, in contrast, that's the reason I do make my tequila margaritas with only the best, and that's why you don't get my bottles of Portofino anymore. Just kidding, man. If I had some booze, especially tequila, I'd give it to you. Because I'm into sharing and being bipartisan.
Don't lie to me, man.
844-967-2789. We both used to share bottles of Captain Morgan, but not so much anymore.
No. Sometimes. I mean, it's a fine summer drink if you're going to start in the morning.
Fancy?
If you want to upgrade your margarita, don't worry about the tequila so much. Ditch the triple sec and use either Grand Marnier or Cointreau.
Oh, and there is a man who knows what he's talking about.
Excellent thoughts. 844-967-2789. What are you having for Cinco de Mayo? Booze or otherwise, Dick from Madison. How you doing, man?
Hey, Dick.
Real good, guys.
You partying it up in the garage, Dick?
Not yet. Woodward, Mark Esberg or Esper, whatever his name is.
Esper, yep.
Bolton, all these people. Esper, what do all these people have in common? In my mind, it's this. You're all aiding and abetting a psychotic, crazy man who, is a danger to himself and the whole country. And now you come along and tell us this stuff?
Well, yeah, now they got a book deal, Dick.
But, Dick, let me interrupt you here. Do you think that the megas who are going to support Trump in 2024, and I don't think he's running, but if he were to run, Do you think that any of this information coming out would influence their decision-making whatsoever?
No, I do not.
No, there is nothing that come out. Literally, Trump said one true thing in his life, Dick, and that's he could shoot someone in the street and he wouldn't lose the vote.
Do you think if maybe the American people and even the rest of his cabinet had known in real time his proposal to target Mexico with secret missiles? I mean, they were already talking after January 6th. They were already talking about removing him through the 25th Amendment. It wasn't fast enough. You don't think that might have been persuasive? How about you, Dick? What's your thought?
Well, that's not normal behavior by a president. I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous across the board. The fact that somebody that insane was that close to, you know, the nuclear code, all the rest of the things we talk about with him. And I totally agree with you, Don, that he's never going to run again. It's just a big scam. Linus Pocket.
You're both wrong. Trump's running. He's announced it in January.
No, he's not. He's all going to spend this money on his legal defense. You just watch.
Well,
you just watch.
Dick, this will be a provable outcome. Someone will be eating a crow sandwich. It's going to be you and Dominic sharing the whole pie.
I will take that action, Crudy. I'm with Dick. It's all about, you know, making the money. He doesn't have the stamina. He doesn't have it. And by the time he gets indicted, he's not gonna run. He's not gonna run.
844.
But he's still, Dick. I would say this: he obviously still has influence in the MAGA party. I mean, just look at the election that we just had.
Ohio J.D. Vance.
Yeah, man. Is that his name, J.D. Vance? Are you sure, Trump? But good luck in the general. You know, that's the thing. I mean, 30% are going to never, ever leave his side because he says the misogynistic, racist, back guano, you know, Jesus, fake it, Jesus love, hurt the Bible. I love the Bible, but I'm not going to get into it specific. I mean, give me a freaking break, man. But he says those things, and those are the triggers for the evangelical whatever you want to call them. I can't even say mythology over and over and over and over again because you get my point.
In other words, Tony Evers, Kumbaya Circle Partners. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, you get the last one today, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
All that pressure after that last conversation, I'm having two Johnny Blocks on the rocks with a couple of olives.
Throw a lime in there and call it a Cinco de Mayo drink.
Okay. I don't think Trump's running either, but if he does, it won't matter. They're going to vote for him anyway, 35-40%. What scares me is someone like DeSanto. I mean, there's enough other crazies. You guys, Cruz, DeSanto, the gentleman. I shouldn't even call him a gentleman. Arkansas.
Don't forget Tom Cotton Eye Joe, and don't forget
there you go.
Don't forget Greg Abbott down in Texas. He's certainly making motions like he's going to run. And, you know, ultimately, I think even that Young Nazis Association contract with Scott Walker might run out. Don't be surprised if he's angling.
I'm going for three Johnny Blacks.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, Paul. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your phone call. I wanted to acknowledge, Dom, earlier today I had a fine author on, Charlotte Dennett. Her new book, or one of her books, Follow the Pipelines, Uncovering the Mystery of a Lost Spy. That's actually her dad. And the Deadly Politics of the Greater Game for Oil. Talked a little Ukraine, a little Russia, some pipelines, some oil policies. All good stuff.
Almost like oil has driven lots of the wars in the last 100 years, huh? Weird.
And the spying, as she pointed out. Thank you all for listening today. Coming up a little bit later, I think Joel Clayfish in the Shaw. I think he's suffering from the COVID-19. I don't think he's doing a live show today, but Native Roots Radio will be live coming up next. Stick around for that. And Rick Smith live at 8 to 10.
I think we just started World War III.
There's nobody that understands the horror of nuclear better than me.
I'm gonna bomb the shit out of them.